Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. I think it is. It's Monday. You know, we get always a little confused on Monday, don't we? Oh, so hopefully your week is starting off. So I want to wish everyone a wonderful, peaceful, enjoyable, and productive week. All of the above. Just as the old expression goes, may all your dreams come true this week. Anything that you plan on doing this week and you want to manifest this week, allow it to happen. So, I always listen to spirit and say, okay, what do they want to talk about? What seems like a really good topic for the day? And since it is Monday, I was thinking about the idea of what's going on this week, you know, what's going on in your lives? What are you looking forward to? What do you want, let's say, spiritual guidance on? You know, I think of myself as this kind of an empathic, intuitive life coach. Excuse me, my throat. Oh, that's been much better, though. Okay, life coach, but
coaching, and as
discussed before, but some people just have never listened to my show and don't know what I do. And so I always kind of like rehash a little bit and try to go through the quick version of what I do. It's about inspiring you. It's inspiring you to manifest the things in your life that you want. You know, I did a lot of psychic work for 20 years of psychic work. And I'm thinking in terms of, yeah, predictions are cool. I mean, predicting things in your life are really cool because people ask about relationships and monies and jobs and all kinds of things. And predictions,
what God has for you that you've been
asking, the prediction based on, oh yeah, this is when it's going to happen because you've been asking for it. But there's a second part of that. And I really like to emphasize the second part. It's the when part seems to be like everybody gets all into the when will this happen? When is this going to happen? Is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? But I'd like to get to why is it going to happen? And how do you make it happen? And what's keeping you from making it happen? Okay? Yeah. And I really truly believe from all my years of
reality and how we
and I say I have regular in the chat room, so this all sounds redundant. I just say it because a lot of people listen to the show for the first time, and I just like to emphasize why I'm a little different than most people that you would talk to. Because I did the pure psychic work for years and years and years. Oh, when's this boyfriend's going to come into my life? And that's the prediction parts. That's the when part. But I really like to emphasize the how part, the why part, and the what. What you have to do.
Get into a lot. So I was thinking,
what do you need to do, and what's going on in your lives, and where do you need a little guidance, spiritual guidance? Where do you need spirit to kind of point you in a direction for what you're looking for in your life? To kind of like, okay, you need to go to, you know, that sort of thing. You need to do this week if you want to manifest what you want. So then I have articles. I always have articles because you never know who's going to call. And I always try to find articles that are inspiring, uplifting, and that also will help in the mind, body, and spirit aspects of your life. I think it's very important to have
yourself in alignment
with yourself and the mental part of yourself. So I try to present articles that do a little bit all of that. Because, you know, if you're not healthy and if you're not living a healthy lifestyle, it's hard to connect with what you want, I believe. That's my opinion. And so what do you want? What do you want? Really, what do you want? What do you need guidance on to get there? And that's what I talk about. So we'll do some articles. I have a couple Abraham quotes, but I think I'll hold on to them because like one of the quotes really fits in well with one of the articles. So I think I'll hold off on
just to kind of change the format.
I was going to tell you about what I'm thinking about, what I've been working on this weekend, and about me. I can talk about the magazine, which is Takeover Publishing, which is called The Messenger. And so if you're interested in reading the magazine now, it's online. It's called The Mess. The website is the www. I don't know if we always have to say that, but I said it anyway. www.themess. I can spell it out here. Dot.
N-F-O.
Okay, so themessenger.info. If you're interested in looking at the magazine that I'm going to be taking over, and I'm going to tweak it, change it, do some other things with it over time, and kind of make it more of a spontaneous, change it as it goes kind of magazine, more like a like if you're reading the Huffington Post or CNN, something where it's coming up every day with new articles and new ideas. That's, instead, it's not stagnant. Once a month it comes out, and that's what you got to read for the whole month. I want to change it a little bit, so I'm constantly updating it. So that's one of my goals.
I have a good friend who's going to help me
to get behind the veil and get all that stuff updated. So that's what I'm doing. It's kind of fun. Been connecting with the spiritual side of myself. And connecting with the consciousness that I accept and am part of. And I, at some degree, I understand it. And that's, I know that sounds strange, but, you know, there's in the spiritual terms, there's people who are Buddhist conscious and Christ consciousness or Jesus consciousness. And for some odd reason, and every time I listen to the music.
Adopting a religious thing, but it's
Krishna consciousness, and I really kind of connect with that. So it really has about love. It's about love. So that's simple. Just leave it at that. It's not that I'm going to become a Hare Krishna or anything or run off to India, which I'd like to do someday. But I'm not going to run off to India and join some cult and follow some Swami. Nope, guru. But I just connect with that Krishna consciousness. Say that 10 times, right? Okay, so let me do the joke, and then we'll get in some articles. And if you want to call in, if you have questions in the chat room about your week.
Kind of my life. So a couple of things.
Kind of, you have to stay excited and challenged, right? And my granddaughter is getting bigger. She's got a little belly now, and once they get a little belly, don't they stretch out thereafter? They kind of fill out the middle part, gets a little bit, and then boom, next thing you know, they have this growth spurt. So she's about ready to grow again. She'll be 7 weeks on Wednesday. Ooh. Yeah, June 3rd. So she's getting on 2 months really soon. Interesting. Amazing. Time flies. But it's only do the joke, okay? I said I'd do this, and I'm going to do it.
Joking, you gotta know what started.
Very good lead in, and this is from today's jokes. What is the website is ajokeaday.com. So if you want to look for it and read, you know, if you're looking for some humor, it's a good place to go. So this is from the mind of a cat, you know, a house cat. Think about this being from the thoughts of a cat. I know it's easier to do it right up front than try to figure it out as you're going through it. Day 752, my captors continued to taunt me with bizarre little
dine lavishly on fresh,
thirsty, dry cereal. The only thing that keeps me going is the hope of escape and the mild satisfaction I get from ruining the occasional piece of furniture. Tomorrow, I may eat another houseplant. Day 761. Today, my attempt to kill my captors by weaving around their feet while they were walking almost succeeded. Must try this at the top of the stairs. In attempt to disgust and repulse these vile oppressors,
vomit on the favorite chair.
Must try this on their bed. Okay. Day 762, slept all day so that I could ignore the captors with sleep deprivation. Insistent pleas for food at all hours of the night. Sounds like a cat, doesn't it? Okay, decapitated, 767, decapitated a mouse and brought them the headless body in an attempt to make them aware of what I was capable of. and to try to strike fear into their hearts. They only coo.
Good little cat I was.
Not working according to plan. 768. I am finally aware how sadistic they are. For no good reason, I was chosen for water torture. This time, however, it included a burning, foamy chemical called shampoo. What sick minds would invent such a liquid? My only conclusion is the piece of thumb. Well, my only consolation is the piece of thumb that stuck between my teeth. Ah, cats. Okay. Accomplices. I was placed in solitary confinement throughout the event. However, I could hear the noise and smell the foul odor of the glass tubes they call beer. More importantly, I overheard that my confinement was due to my power of allergies. Must learn this and how to use it to my advantage. 774. I am convinced that the other captives are flunkies and maybe snitches. The dog is routinely a halfwit. The bird, on the other hand, has got to be an informant. He has mastered their frightful tongue, something akin to mole speak, and speaks with them regularly. I am certain he reports on my every move. Due to this current placement in metal room, his safety is assured. But I can wait. It is only a matter.
That's me, Joe. That's my humor for the day.
Fun to play a little bit. Ah, yes, the mind of a cat. You ever think about what your cat or dog are thinking about you? I think my dog adores me. Yes, dogs are amazing versus cats, you know? What's that old expression about, I'm going off on cats and dogs and all kinds of things, but it's kind of fun. It's Monday. We're kind of easing into the week, and I'm waiting for your calls or for your questions. So just kind of going over some interesting thoughts. What's the expression? I love this one about dogs and cats.
It is kind of cute.
Feed a dog, and the dog looks at you with its eyes and goes, "Oh, you fed me. You must be God." You feed a cat, and the cat looks up to you kind of disdainfully and says, "Oh, you fed me. I must be God." The difference between... Okay, let's get into some articles, and I'm waiting for your calls and see what you want to talk about. And I thought with some articles, one was on the best morning rituals to start your day. And you can do this kind of starting off the week. Maybe it's a good reminder of some of the things that kind of get us our day started in a positive
way. It was on 15 ways to look
and feel fantastic. That's a good thought. And then I have one about toxic relationships. But then I also have an article. Those are all from beliefnet.com. But I also have an article. Let's start with this one. Sleep experts. This is from the Today Show, Health and Wellness. Sleep experts share their favorite trick for a better night's rest. Aha. Ooh, let's listen to this. You know, how many people just don't sleep?
One of the most primitive
ways to sleep and staying asleep is like drinking liquids before you go to bed within an hour of going to bed. I constantly am drinking water, and that's not a good idea. Okay, so that's a rule. That's a pattern I need to change, right? Cut out the water earlier. Okay, so it's no secret that a good night's rest is important. In fact, new research shows that a solid 7 hours is the minimum we need for good health. Yeah, you ever know people that say, I only sleep 5 hours a day and I'm healthy and blah, blah, blah. I wonder if it's ever going to catch up with them, you know?
At some point, the body goes, nah.
You know, it ain't working for me. You got to get some rest. I'm going to make you sick. So you get some sleep. I wonder. But for some of us, those 7 hours are spent tossing and turning. We count sheep. We try to relax and nothing. Yeah, I have a brother like that. He can't turn his mind off. I mean, he just can't turn your head off, right? Oh, the mind keeps going. Oh, no. Before losing all hope, it is important to know that experts say a good night's sleep is often just one small change away. I like that.
Stay away from the water, you know, an hour
or so before you go to bed. Maybe an hour and a half, right? So I don't know if it's, I don't remember it being one of these, but I think it was something I learned that I don't practice. To learn these to learn which changes work best. The Today Show talked to three sleep experts who shared their number one tips for better night's sleep. So, okay, don't look at the clock is the one from one expert. Looking at the clock begins a more conscious thought process that is moving toward a wakeful mind than Nathaniel Watson, president-elect of the AASM, director of the University of Washington Sleep Medical Clinic. Ah, that's quite a title, isn't it? President-elect of the AASM, whatever that is, director of the University of Washington Sleep Medicine Clinic. Ugh. That was hard to get out. So let me actually get into his thought. He knows many people need an alarm to wake up. He recommends people sit early in the evening and ignore the clock for the rest of the night. Looking at the clock reminds us that we are not
causes us more stress.
So don't set your alarm just before you go to bed. You know, mine's on a repeated. I have mine on my iPad. So it's kind of set for the week. I ignore it though. That's my problem. They have this stupid, you know, sleep mode. Yeah, sleep mode. Oh, hit that. You know, not off. So yeah, that's not good. Give me more sleep and I'll wake up, right? No. They should just go off and make you get up. Put it on the other side of the room, right? If people wake in the middle of the night, Watson urges them to avoid the lure. Thought process. Like, ooh, it's 1:30, and yeah, it's my time to go to the restroom time because I had too much water. So I wonder what time it is now, you know? Oh, it's 1:30 again. Yeah, I do that. You are thinking, why did I wake up so early? Yeah, it's my time to go to the restroom. I am going back to sleep. If the hours later you start thinking, what about what you have to do during the day? Let's say your alarm is supposed to go off at 6:30.
6 o'clock. Oh, time's up. So,
and if you wake up at 5:30, and if you look at the clock and it says 5:30, and you're going, then you start thinking about the day, and you miss that hour of sleep, and you just don't get back to it. Instead of just ignoring the clock, I know it's early, my alarm hasn't gone off, and it's time to go to sleep. So let me check with you guys, see what's going on out there. Okay, so nobody's calling and no questions. So I'll just keep going on this about sleep. These are good reminders. Don't look at the clock. If your alarm hasn't gone off, it's...
sun gets up, so the sun's not up. It
must be too early. Time, you know, just kind of roll over and try to go back to sleep, right? Okay, what's the next one? Black out the bedroom. Well, that would cut out the sun rising thing, wouldn't it? I spent a lot of time in people's bedrooms. The one thing that I think can really affect people's sleep positively is truly black out the bedroom, says W. Chris Winter, a sleep medicine expert at the Charlottesville Neurology and Sleep Medicine in Virginia. Boy, they have a long time.
Well, Charlottesville.
Neurology and Sleep Medicine Clinic, I guess it is, in Virginia. He recommends people go into bedrooms at noon on a sunny day at, no, wait a minute, they're repeating stuff, and find where the light comes into the room. Then use blackout shades, even rubber seals on the bottom of the door to prevent light from lights seeping into the room. Light and dark regulate the circadian rhythms. The dark, the deep darkness,
sleepy, and bright light
awakens the brain. Now that's interesting. I have never thought of it that way. So I'd break that rule because I have windows open and light coming in and blah, 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 blah. So think about that. Blacking out the room, even sealing the doors so low light can creep in. You know, if you have different people in the family on different schedules, that might be a problem. And if you live in the city, of course, there's always lights on somewhere, street lights on, neighbors got lights on. If you live out in the country, a whole different game, isn't it? Okay, so that
comes in.
Okay. Step on this whole thing, and I will check back with you guys. If anybody wants to talk to me, I will be back in a minute. I'm just finishing this whole thing on sleep, and I think it's really fascinating. It can help you a lot if you just use a couple different tips, like mine about don't drinking liquids an hour or so before you go to bed. I could black out my room a little better, I guess. Keep a schedule. I think most important tip that really works, does work for me myself, is to establish a regular routine, says Dr. Harneet Walla of the
Cleveland Clinic. Our body is
regulated by the internal clock. And if we have a lot of variation with sleep and wake, it can cause some difficulty sleeping and daytime sleeplessness. Well, Walla recommends that people try to go to bed and wake up around the same every day. She understands that work deadlines, family obligations, and social engagements might keep people up late. She cautions against sleeping in for more than 30 minutes.
Keeping to the same routine
makes it easier for people to fall asleep at the same time and leads to healthier other health benefits. Yeah, try to stay as close as you can as a routine. I'm usually in bed about 11:30 at night, but I'm up at who knows when my dog decides to be fed. Okay, so I got to put the dog on the schedule too, right? Their difficulty sleeping is getting resolved. They feel better during the day and they will have set routines and other activities. So be regular about yourself.
You can. You know, along with this,
a lot of articles on this sort of thing. And one of the things I find interesting is don't change your schedule or your routine dramatically for the weekend. You know, you work Monday through Friday, and people got this crazy schedule. So let's just call it your day off, days off. Don't change your sleep patterns dramatically for your days off. And that keeps the routine going. And it's easier, especially when you go back to the work week, to maintain your schedule and maintain your sleep patterns. So, okay, so what do you think? Anybody have sleep problems?
What's going on with you guys?
So what do you need coaching on? What do you need guidance on? What do you need the when, why, how, and where stuff on about what's going on in your life? And how can I help you in that way? How can spirit help you? I'm just a channel. I'm an empath. I read you. The spirit works through me to give you information. I work with a group of spiritual teachers. I mean, non-physical spirit entities. They call themselves the Council. It's a group. And many of them have lived upon the earth in lifetimes. Some of them.
You pull together
knowledge and discernment on the human condition and individual, and also your souls and what your intentions are and your destinies are, and a little bit about your past lives sometimes, and also sometimes what your relatives who have passed have to say about you, okay, or for you. So we're going to look at. Okay, so we talked about sleep, which is really important. You're starting a new week. It's maybe good to start new patterns about sleeping so that you feel you don't like hit the 3 o'clock time frame and go
3 o'clock wall.
There's nothing wrong with a 20-minute power nap. I don't do well with too long on that because then I'm getting really groggy and I can't function. So, okay. So I see. Okay. Wow. Okay. So the question is about taking a Reiki class. Should, you know, to answer your question, and I would say yes, and I'll give you why yes. And then there's the why part. And the why part is why you should
to it. If you're thinking about
something and you're thinking about
concept of something, it's yours.
At least you got to try it. At least you got to figure out if it's good for you. Let me see what I hear from Spirit, because there's more than they have to say on this subject. They're really saying that there's a strong healing modality or ability that's within you, and that Reiki can open up your healing ability. Okay?
Title, because you're a natural.
Reiki is just a title that goes on healing, but as you do it and as you go through the Reiki 1, 2, and, you know, the master class, you will morph it into what's good for you as a healer. You're good at distance healing, is what I get. You'd be very good at distance healing. So that's a good thing. Prayers for others and energy for others from a distance. That's what I pick. So good for you. Go for it. Do too, as you're doing it, is I would learn the chakras really well and what each chakra, what the energy centers. It's almost like if you're doing Reiki, that I recommend that you steady a little bit of acupressure. Not that you're going to put pressure on the places, but you're going to learn a little bit more about the pressure points in the body and what they relate to, and like reflexology for the feet. You get to focus and concentrate the energy based on the centers. Now, if you want to stick
to the chakras, that's fine. But the seven
basic, and then there's eight, and there's a few more. But stick to, if you want to, just stick to the chakras. Know what part of the body the chakra relates to on a physical level, and an emotional level, and a spiritual level, and do that. And learn to how to, let's say, read chakras in the sense of, is it out of, you know, is it spinning properly? Is it weak? Spin, all that sort of thing. And you can learn that to do that with a pendulum, because that's how I do it. But I read people without even tell. I can read a person
by feeling their energy and tell them.
It feels to me is that needs some work, and you can apply Reiki to help that chakra area. And you can apply Reiki to the particular chakra areas more so that, I mean, a Reiki treatment takes into the whole body, but sometimes if there's a certain specific chakra area or a energy center in the body that needs more work, then you can focus more on that. Does that make sense? That's what I used to do. I also learned how to do
feeding people for their bodies and where
a negative energy, which is causing part of their physical ailment, or the physical ailment is causing the negative part of their body, and learning how to pull that out. I kind of accidentally learned how to pull that out working with a Reiki master who I was dating at the time. It was an interesting process, and it's and you want to remove it, and you put it into something like a piece of wood. You don't want to hold on to people's negative energies that, you know, that they have spawned from illness. But you pull the energy out, and it helps them to.
I don't know if that's being.
Your Reiki classes are going to teach you how to remove energy. But it's a good thing to learn how to do, is to remove energy. And energy that's caused by illness, or illness that's causing the energy, either way, and to remove that from the body and transfer it to something that's innate into the earth, back into the earth. I use a stick. Wood is that modality to do that. Okay, how fun. I don't know why I got off and all that. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So look for that. I would say that
energy in and taking energy out.
And knowing where and what energy centers need the greatest amount of work, and that relates to the physicality of the person. And if you're a very good medical intuitive, you read the person and go, oh, your liver's got a thing going on there. Let's work on that. So it's developing a mental whatever, okay? It's true. You're going to have, well, in a Reiki practitioner, that's where you start, is working on yourself. You don't start on other people, so you start working on your own.
That you're going to go through is
the hands-on to yourself. So that's where it starts. And then you start to know what the energy feels like. So moving right along. So do it. Yes, do it. It'd be good for you. But it can get really much more involved if you want to take it to the next level. Let's put it that way. And I would say I would sharpen your medical intuitive ability of reading people empathically to kind of get a feeling for what's going on before you even start working on them.
Skill, I'm going off on this.
Because it is fascinating. When you work with people, your hands will know where to go. Okay? Your hands will know where to go. It's like your hands will be led to where on the body that needs the energy from you or the extraction of energy. That's the cool part of it. Okay, so let me move on. Let me do, do I have an Abraham quote? No. I was going to do something else. 15 ways to look and feel fantastic. We got a few more minutes, so we'll
any questions at any of those times.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are. Ditch the negativity, the Debbie Downer attitude. The article is 15 ways to look and feel fantastic. And this is a beliefnet.com article, and it doesn't give me the writer, so maybe it will later on. I don't remember seeing it. Ditch the negativity and the Debbie Downer attitude. The only person that can help you feel look and feel fantastic is you. Ooh, it's all about yourself, right? So kick it into gear and get yourself
tips. And that, I don't think we're going to get through all.
Check back and see what's going on with you guys. Any questions? Number one, yeah, it's like it's an obvious one. Eat well. Eating a healthy diet is a huge part of feeling good about yourself. Not only do certain foods provide you with antioxidants and energy, but also helps you maintain an appropriate weight. I like that, appropriate weight. You have to decide what that is, right? Making healthy meal decisions will help you feel better about your body image, which in turn affects your emotional well-being.
I think it's really important there.
Driven by what supposedly the image is. You know, it's like being comfortable in your own skin, right? They got a picture of a peanut butter and banana sandwich here. I haven't had peanut butter and bananas. I don't know, forever. Next one that they talk about, let me check back, see if anybody has anything exciting to talk about or questions. Okay, so back to the article about feeling fantastic. Oops, wrong one. Okay, natural remedies. There are many natural remedies that are available.
For example, certain kinds of
known to cure topical infections and acne. Coconut oils are great moisturizers. Do the research and you'll find some great resources to improve your life. Now, there's a health food store nearby. And if you get advice and you go there and there's somebody who really is very knowledgeable about not just the medications, but natural remedies, the holistic aromatherapy, Ayurvedic remedies, herbs and spices that can help you. Because I remember reading.
I've been reading his books.
professional career as a PhD of designing drugs for heart disease and others. He basically said, oh, what we do is we take a plant and we break the plant down and we take the molecules from the plant that will best help in that situation. But I'm thinking, in natural remedies, just take the plant. Or take natural remedies that have broken down the plant, but have not taken away every ingredient from the plant. You know, there's a difference. Instead of taking the pill, maybe there's an herb
based on the plant.
Because science is just taking plants and breaking them down and giving us cures. Well, why not us? Find strength in scriptures. Okay, now I'm going to twist this a little bit to my more metaphysical view on things. So it says, look to scriptures for strength and inspiration. We are all children of the Lord, and words of faith will help you feel good about yourself and the life you are living. And I would say if you're not a Bible reader, then find things that are inspiring to you. Find people that inspire you and their life stories inspire you.
Texts from any various
sources that get you pumped up and inspired for the day. Find your course or your way of being inspired. And there's so many different avenues that you can go to, and so many different writers. I was just thinking of a few, but I won't go in there. Okay, next one is meditation. Meditation is a great way to release negative energies that could possibly weighing you down. In addition to creating a more zen environment, meditation will allow you to have downtime that will help you feel refreshed. I was listening to some things on meditation, and there's so many different ways to meditate. There's breathing.
One of the things I've been working on,
believe in, is mantras. A very simple mantra that keeps you focused on the meditation. And you come up with your own mantras, but there's books that have mantras listed in English, of course. You don't necessarily have to be reading mantras in Sanskrit. Or, you know, Namnyo Rinke Kyo is one that's in one of the Buddhist traditions. Or Hari Har Hari Krishna is another one that's in more of the Sanskrit Hindu tradition. But you can come up with a mantra as simple as, I am enough.
I am loved.
I am enough. I am appreciated. And just repeat the mantra. Because what you're doing by the mantra is, A, you're convincing the mind that this is what I believe. Repetition creates a belief. And also, you're focusing on the words, so the day-to-day thoughts and ideas don't come. They're kind of keeping them back, keeping those ideas, those thoughts, or worrying about where it's supposed to be in 20 minutes or an hour. You're focusing on your mantra, and that'll take you deeper. Some people call it being in the void.
I believe.
Of meditation is to be in that place of connection with your higher self, your soul, the God self, the universe, whatever you call it, the oneness with all. But that's the purpose of meditation, okay? To get to that place. Okay, checking back with you guys. So another hi out there. We got a few more minutes left. Not much. But, you know, when waiting for calls or people had questions about their week and just covering some articles, I thought were kind of nice and kind of get you started on the week and get you in a...
So this is an article on...
is to feel, look and feel good, and I was talking about meditation, starting the week, using it during the week. I like this next one. This is really cool. And this is really being authentic, too. Dress for success. Whenever you wear a great outfit... a boat of self-confidence because you know that you look great. Try to dress for success every day because your inner self will reap the rewards. Great clothes can help motivate you towards success and give you that extra boost towards reaching your goals.
A long way. It doesn't...
But dress, so you're looking in the mirror going, yeah, looking good today. Yeah, this is a good-looking outfit on me. I'm looking myself. You know, I love the colors. And a lot of it's the colors that you wear that kind of reflect who you are. You know, if it's bright colors, if you're in that black kind of outfit day, it's kind of like, man, you ever people see that just walk around in black all the time and they kind of look negative or they got black makeup and it's just like, okay, they're, I don't know if they're really, really positive people. It's hard to believe, but so dress for success. Dress so that you feel.
Checking back with you guys.
Catching amongst yourselves. So let me move on with this article about what we can do to feel better and get off to a good start. Regular exercise. Regular exercise is an important element. I know you know all this stuff, but sometimes reminders are good because, like, say, you've broken your pattern of exercise, and sometimes you just need that reminder of why I should be exercising. With exercise comes healthy lifestyles, better body image, perceptions, and energy that can carry you through your day. While exercise may seem...
And you will physically and emotionally...
Let me make a comment on that, because take out the work part of that. Do something you love to do. If you love to walk, walk. If you love to swim, swim. If you love to ride a bike, ride a bike. If you love to do yoga, do yoga. If you like to do Pilates, there's so many forms of exercise out there that it doesn't have to be work. It's just cardiovascular. If you just like dancing, go dance. It's a form of exercise. And so there's so many ways of doing it, but choose something that you love to do.
I'm going to the gym and do the treadmill.
Don't really like it, but I do it because it's good for me. No. Do something you like to do. Do some kind of exercise you enjoy. You know, I like to walk. I walk with my dog, and it gets me out in the community, and I get to walk by these buildings and see what's in the windows and blah, 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 blah. I like that. I like being out in public and doing that, walking. So pick your exercise. I like doing yoga. I like lifting hand weights or light weights. It's good for you. Sometimes it's kind of like you got to get yourself motivated to do lifting. Oh, boy. But once you get in, feel the burn, it feels good. Now,
no thoughts. Hope you guys
a couple minutes left. Instead of getting into the next one, the next one's about dancing with praise dancing, which I think is kind of a cool idea. Just dancing. Put some music on and dance in the living room. And you could throw the idea of appreciation in there. Appreciating. Thank you, God. Thank you for all the beautiful things in my life. I really appreciate all these things in my life that I have that are beautiful. And just do those rants of appreciation while you're dancing around the living room or out front in your yard or your backyard, putting some music on, but doing your appreciations at the same time. Because everyone has lots of things to appreciate, even if they're a little tiny.
Do your rants of appreciation.
Praise dancing, and I would call it appreciation dancing instead of just praise. But, okay, it's your choice, of course. So we got some exercise going on there. One of the articles that talks about, and it's about starting your day well, and I think having a certain amount of protein in the morning is really good, because I've gotten to the protein thing lately, where men should have about 50 to 75 grams of protein, depending on how you're active. If you're active or not, women are a little bit less, but it can't hurt to have a certain amount of balance with protein.
Are you giving really good protein?
Coming from too fatty a products. A little health thing here. I seem to dwell onto health things. So I think it's really important to be a spiritual person. You should be a healthy person. It does work together, okay? So, Monday's gone by so quickly. It's been fun. I always get wired up when I'm doing the show. I really like to do this. And if I can throw something out there, it makes sense to you, and it helps you, maybe inspires you a little bit for the week, or they give you an answer that goes, yeah, I can do that. I can see it happening in my life.
I'm here for it. To help you.
If I can help you more, contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page, my Facebook page, my website. And I mentioned earlier the magazine I'm going to be taking over. If you go ahead and read now, and you'll see a change, a morphing of it in the future. Have a beautiful day. Bye. Kind of ended.